I desire your prayers this morning. There is something that the Bible wants to teach us that is next to godliness. And while you're thinking of what it is, it's not cleanliness. You know, we've heard that before, and I haven't found that in the Bible. It's contentment. And I want to tell you, it's something that we're all going to have to battle to be able to hang on to it, to be able to be contented. I want to ask you this morning, and I have asked myself this, on a scale of 0 to 100% this morning, are you contented?
Amen.
And maybe you could say, yes, I am. Because the latest gadget that has been put out, my family bought that for me this past week. And I am 100% contented. If you are, discontentment is coming. Because there's going to be a new gadget next month. I want to talk to you about the contentment that God wants us to have. The most important is the spiritual. But I want to talk to you first about the temporal. Because, and maybe doing the temporal first is putting a cart before the horse, but it's where we live every day, and it's what I've got to bring into control. If my requirement is high for things around me, I'm going to be discontented most of the time. If I can learn to be satisfied with conditions that are in my life, contentment level rises. And even during prayer, the Lord opened something to me of a scripture that I was wanting to give, and I had it to go in a different direction, but I'd like for us to take a look at it. In Proverbs 30, starting in the 7th verse, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Because here's the reason. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Now I look at this one about my thoughts on this had been the things that are available around us. I mean, there's restaurants lined up to where you can decide today if you want Mexican or if you want Chinese, if you want anything. But during prayer, the Lord took this verse and gave me a thought that I'd like to share with you. Lest I be full and deny thee. Each one of us have requests in our life that we want changes to come. I am not contented with where I am. I would like this to be changed. I'm hungry. And I'm not talking about food-wise right here. And I'm not talking about spiritual-wise either right here. I am hungry. I've got something I want the Lord to change in my life. It could be I'm on the unemployment list. It could be any number of things. Lest I be full and deny thee. The Lord knows whether answering those prayers will put me in this category that I would be full and I would deny him. And the example that came to me during prayer was Paul. He came to the Lord with a want. I'm hungry for a need to be fulfilled in my life. I've got a thorn in the flesh, and I would like for you to feed me. I'd like for you to put me in the full category. And you know, he was wanting that, and he was able to understand why God was not going to do it. For this very reason, lest I should be full, lest I should lift myself up above measure because these revelations that the Lord has been giving me, that's why he wants to keep me, possibly, in the hungry list. And a lot of times my requests are, put me in the full category. Answer all the prayers for me. Give me the things that I want, and I will be contented. Children of Israel, when they went out into the wilderness, what a job to be able to feed. If it was a million, if it was 1.5 million, You can't stay there long enough to grow a crop. He didn't intend for you to. He was intending for him to move on through. So, like they should do, they told him, "We're hungry. We need something to eat." But they also complained while they were asking. He sent manna. And I tell you, I have often looked at the children of Israel and said, what a shame that they couldn't be content with what God gave them. But I want to tell you something. Take a pick this morning at one food that you like the best. Maybe dessert. Pizza. I mean, take your pick, each one of you. But there's only one more requirement. You're going to need to be contented with it for the next 40 years. Morning, noon, and night. It's going to be supplied to you. See, doesn't that change then? I'm going to need something from God to be able to be contented with what He has supplied, because this thing is going to be with me from here on out. You remember where they came to a place where, lest I should be hungry and steal, they came to a place where they were in need again. I'm not satisfied with what He has given, this manna that He has supplied. I'm sick and tired of this, and I tell you, I understand it a little better. Numbers 11 and 5, it says, "We remember the fish that we did eat freely in Egypt. We also remember the cucumbers." Have you ever come to a place where a cucumber looked good? That is just in my mind, if I just had a cucumber today. I want to tell you something. I've come to that place. Because in this kind of, in the time that we're living in right now, you know, we've just come through Christmas season, and there's just been a lot of variety of things to have. And I get to where, if I'm not careful, I'll get to where desserts are what I would rather have. We'll do the fruit later, but let's just, desserts are here. Well, there's a way that I've found to be able to break that, and it is to shut it all down, give your body a rest, and do a 10-day cleanse with some lemonade. I want to tell you what it does for you. Because on the 11th day, you can't eat meat anyhow because you haven't had anything for 10 days. And on the 11th day, they say, you can now have orange juice for this day. I want to tell you what it does. You would think, I'm going to take a half gallon and just pour it down. You don't do it. You do it like mouthwash. You put just a little bit in and you swish it around, because I'm now satisfied with just this. I understand what the children of Israel went through. And yet at the same time, the Lord was asking them to come to a place to where, until I provide you something different, be satisfied with what I've given. I believe He would have sent something extra along if they had been contented with what they had. You remember where He told them in Deuteronomy? I'm fixing it now. We're passing the manna stage. I'm now going to bring you into a land that flows with milk and honey. There's going to be things that you never even had to work for. I'm going to just supply them for you. The houses will have already been built. You will come in and the vegetables are growing in the gardens. You won't have to do a thing to get it. Except, beware. Because if you're not careful, the first few days you're going to be very thankful to the Lord for it. But after a while, you're going to have been around it so long that you're going to say, my hands have gotten me this. It happened with Nebuchadnezzar. Even after he had the dream and was warned, turn your heart and maybe the Lord will have mercy on you. He may have done that for a while, but 1 year later, you remember when he stood out on his porch and looked over what he had and said, look at this great Babylon that I have been able to build by my own hand. So now when we look at these verses, where my prayer is, don't give me poverty or riches in any of the requests that I bring to you. Don't send me over into an area that I think I'm full. Because you remember when the children of Israel got tired of manna and they said, give me some meat?
Yeah.
Something happened. He did it at a high price. He said He gave them their request, but He sent leanness to their soul. Folks, we're too close to eternity now to ask any request of the Lord and say, this is what I want. I'm in the hungry category. I want to be in the full category. Answer this request for me, and I will be contented. There is a verse that I'd like for us to look at in Philippians. Philippians in the 4th chapter, and then starting in the 11th verse. Not that I speak in respect of want. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I tell you, it's one thing to say that in a Sunday school verse, and it's another thing to maybe say it when everything is going good, but to be able to say it when things have just turned wrong for me and they're going bad. This is where this verse is important. I've learned whatsoever state I am to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. And how he's able to do it, I've been able to just buck up against it. I can do all things through Christ. Folks, some of these things we're not going to be able to do on our own. We may be able to do it for a little while. But I tell you, if I stay in the hungry category and my needs have not been met and the Lord has not answered my prayer, the only way I'm going to be able to handle it is through Christ, which strengthens me. And I think we each one need to remember that. Because we're in a place right now where America is blessed. And I want to tell you, it didn't happen because men had good understanding of how to give us a prosperous country. God blessed it. And folks, I want to tell you something. We've come to a place where America as a whole has turned her back on God. And when that happens, it would be the mercy of the Lord to put us in the hungry category as a nation. To try to turn it happen. How many times in the Old Testament would the Lord bless his people? Things would go well. And it was hardly any time before they were serving gods, making something else to worship. And the only thing that would turn them around was when he would move them from the full category and put them back in the hungry one. And they would start seeking. And they knew, I don't need to ask God to deliver me from these folks that have just taken me over because I've sinned. I know that I've got something to take care of before I ever even need to ask him to move me out of this hungry category. That's where we need to be with our requests. Lord, before I ever ask you to remove this, I want to check and see, is there any reason that you're trying to hold me in this category? The definition I saw of contentment, literally held, contained within limits. My desires, contained within limits. And the result of that is, hence quiet, not disturbed, having a mind that is at peace. In Hebrews 13, and in the 5th verse, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, and this is what's going to be so important to us if we can get a hold to, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content. Now, what is contentment? Is it when I come home and Cheryl says, you know, it rained today and the roof is leaking. And I say, but the Lord has told us to be content. Just get a bucket. No, other things that come into my life. God has made man to be the provider of the home. If my job doesn't do it, am I supposed to tell Cheryl, tighten up on the groceries because I'm content? I got a job to do. There are some things about my life that God puts into my responsibility category to go take care of. Even while I'm doing that, he wants there to be a quiet, not disturbed, having a mind that is at peace. There are going to be some things in our life that I have no control over. I cannot make a change in them. Those I really need to put over into that category. Lord, I can't do anything about this one. Hence, I'm going to be quiet. I'm not going to be disturbed. You know, we have things right now that if you have a desire to buy the latest and the greatest, you will not be contented very long. Because you look at the cell phones, those things are changing so fast, and they're heavily advertised that on this day, at early in the morning when you should be sleeping, we're going to put this thing out. And people will line the street. They will be lined up in the parking lot to be the first to get this fancy phone. And I want to tell you, it's not just cell phones. A few years ago, a company came into Oklahoma City and they said, this is going to be the latest and the greatest. We're going to open like at 5 o'clock in the morning. Be here if you want to be the first. They had traffic problems in that area because so many people filled the parking lot and up and down the street. You know what it was? It was a donut. Krispy Kreme was coming to town. And there were people that stayed up through the night to be able to be the first. You remember? To be able to be the first to get that donut. Do you ever read books of bygone years? The pioneers, when they went traveling across to the West, what were their requirements? When they said, feed me with food convenient for me, what were their requirements? It was far less than what mine is today. And you know, I would read some of those, maybe Little House on the Prairie and some of those, that tells me Christmas time came and the children were overjoyed when Father came home with an orange and gave them. Now it's got to be the latest version of the Wii game or something. When children were given a corn cob doll and played all year with it trying to make it last. And now you can send off your daughter's picture and they'll make a doll just like her. Hair's the same, everything's the same, looks like her for a price. There are areas that we're in trouble if we don't learn to be content.
That's right.
There is a man's name, Bernie Madoff, or Madoff. You remember it? One day, he had already had some businesses going. One day, he started another one. Invest with him. Consistently, you will get higher returns with him than you could ever get with the stock market. Had a couple boys in with him on that. When people hear that I can get money better here than I can over here, they started flocking to him. And he did what he promised. To those first ones that came in, you've got to do it because you got to get out some word that it's working well. He had the money and he gave them huge returns and they didn't keep it quiet. And as the word spread that you can make so much money through this company that he has started, people started just flocking to it and pouring in money. And to the point that, and you know, we can blame this man. He's in prison today and will be for the rest of his life. We can blame this man, but I want to tell you something. There is something in human nature that says, yeah, they told me it's too good to be true, but I just heard about this guy that got it. And something starts inside me. I'm a longing for it. It got to the point that people, when he would have sent them that huge return so they would advertise it, they said, no, I don't want it back. Reinvest it for me. Make this thing grow. When it finally crashed was when the stock market started falling. And people that had invested in stock said, I'm getting desperate. And what you do then is pull it out before the stock market keeps going down. If there would have been a way that he could have told his folks in that group, hey, folks, hang on. Don't worry about it because this doesn't have anything to do with the stock market anyhow. I never bought any stock all this time. I've been spending your money. But as it fell, people then said, I got my last statement that you sent me, and I would like to cash it in. And he knew it's over now and turned himself in. Just in the last couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, his son committed suicide. Just too great to be able to handle. There are some areas that we need to learn to be content. there will be some things come to you that says, I don't see how this could be true. Well, I've gotten into some of them, and I want to tell you, if it's too good to be true, save your money, because it's probably not true, and it's going to hurt you. There was in Luke, soldiers came to Jesus and said, what can we do? What do we need to do? And he told them, I want you to be content with your wages. Folks, this is an area that we need to be real careful about, because it can move us to the discontented category so fast. Because I spend so much of my life at work, and I can come to the place where my boss doesn't pay me enough, and I no longer even enjoy coming to work, and it changes how I produce while I am at work. But I have worked for a company now for 20 years, and they've been very fair to me. I enjoy going to work there. One day while I was at work, I had to go out and pick up some parts. And on the side of the road, someone had put a sign there. And here's what it said. Finally, get paid what you're worth. Call this number. Now, what will the discontented man do? He's going to pull over and grab a pen, maybe even call him on the side of the road. What is this? I started laughing. I said, there's no way I'm calling that number, because they're paying me more than I'm worth already. There is a place for us to be contented with where we are in life. And I want to tell you, it's going to help in my working conditions. It's going to help in the church. There's another verse that I'd like to look at in 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment, it's great gain. If you can put those two together, and he has never even mentioned money yet. He just said if you first get godliness and you put with that contentment, you have attained to something right then. And we have heard this before. You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Every one of us, no matter how hard I try to produce throughout my life, I can give up everything. I can lose the opportunity to be with my family because I am building this empire. And when I breathe my last, they don't send it with me. It stays here. And I want to tell you, there's something else now. I have watched this over the last few years, that health care has gotten so expensive. To be put in a nursing home has gotten to be so expensive that there are people that I know that was successful throughout their life. The nest egg was big enough. Everything was fine until they came to that point and it drained it. I mean, in 2 or 3 years' time, you can lose what you thought would last you for a long time. We need to learn contentment. Amen. Because maybe today everything is fine. I'm well. My family's well. There's no problems. Keep on living, because it will change for every one of us at one time. We will move from the full category to the hungry category, and if we're not careful, we'll be discontented. There's a song that we have. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. And I believe that's what he wants to do with us this morning. It says, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I would like to go now to spiritual contentment, because it is the most important. What I do with this section of it, the other may cause me to be discontented in life. This could cause me to miss heaven in the end. And as I look at spiritual contentment for a little bit this morning, there's a warning flag that goes up. Because who determines spiritual contentment? There was a congregation that decided what spiritual contentment would be, and it was lukewarm. It was the Laodicean church. We're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. It's not going to do me any good to be content with my own assessment of my spiritual condition. I have got to go to God and say, I judge it that I'm in the full category spiritually. Because he came back with such a different assessment. He said they're in the hungry category. You are naked. You don't have anything. What a contrast. It was the same congregation. It can happen to me. And I want to be very careful. Let's look at a verse that will help us out in Psalms 139 and 23. It's where I come to the Lord and say, just in case, Lord, you see me as lukewarm when I thought I was hot, here's what I ask you to do. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And part of this leading in the way everlasting may be what happened to Paul. When I came to him three times and asked him to move me from the hungry category to the full, and what he told me was, my grace is sufficient for you. And so I took that and became contented. So I don't want to be, this morning, spiritually contented with a halfway experience. I'm asking God, search me, because I'm on my way to eternity, and there will come a day when I'll not be able to make any adjustments to who I am. There are some songs. Brother Leslie, a couple days ago, told us about the value of songs. There are some songs, just some clips of songs in our book, that I would like to read to you, because it is going to be so important for us to be satisfied with where we are spiritually today. I still want more, but that I know the Lord is satisfied with me. Let's start with a number 97. It says, all this world, its wealth and honor, cannot satisfy the human breast. But when filled with God our Father, every want is fully blessed. That second verse, all my soul can wish forever. Now, if your contentment came from, I got the latest, that cell phone just came out, and now I am satisfied, it's a different category than this one. All my soul can wish forever, I do find in Christ replete. Every blessing and the giver in my peaceful bosom meet. The fourth verse, can a bird drink up the ocean? Thirsting still from shore to shore, or the God of all creation, leave my heart, yet craving more, won't happen. It says, my soul is satisfied. I am complete in Jesus' love. Not in I found something that pays 30% when the stock market only pays 15. You're going to be hurt. Here's a place to put your anchor, and you'll always be satisfied. I am complete in Jesus' love, and my soul is satisfied. I'd like to look at another one, number 153, verses 3 and 4. Praise the Lord. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I find he's all I need. Yes. He healed me soul and body, and he makes me whole indeed. He gives me food and raiment, yea, all I eat and wear. He beareth all my burdens, my sorrows and my care. Look at this fourth one. I'm satisfied with Jesus, whatever he may do. Now that moves it out of when I'm telling him what he needs to do. This is now what he does with my life. I've learned to be contented. And this same satisfaction is waiting now for you. I'm satisfied with Jesus wherever I may be. And while I now obey him, he's satisfied with me. I'd like to look at another one, 166. Because this book, no matter what your need is, if you'll pull it out and start looking, there's messages. And you won't even have to be in the church service to get them. Number 166, that first verse. Christ is mine, my heart's dear treasure, greater than all earthly store. Filled with his untold abundance, yearns not now my heart for more. The third verse. Christ, the source of all my pleasure. If you've got it in the latest toy that came out, They're busy already trying to build something better than that to get your money on down the road. It's saying, he's the source of all my pleasure. Now in him my soul doth find joy unspeakable, exceeding earthly pleasures all combined. Christ is mine and every longing. He satisfies abundantly. He's my joy, my hope, my glory. He is all, yes, all to me. And at that point, you can be contented. There's another one, number 77. That verse 6, salvation richer far than gold, than glittering gems that turn to mold. Its wealth no language ever has told. It satisfies my soul. It satisfies my soul. It satisfies my soul. This wonderful salvation. You know what? I'm going to have to come to a place where I am content with salvation and what it has to offer me. Because if I'm not, I will not be contented. I will be reaching out for something to fill the gap. This wonderful salvation, how it satisfies my soul. I'd like to look at number 81. And I was trying to pick out, okay, in this one, what verse would be the best, and I'm going to have to do them all. It says, let worldly minds the world pursue. It has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace has set me free. Its pleasures can no longer please, nor happiness afford. Far from my heart be joys like these. Now I have seen the Lord. As by the light of opening day the stars are all concealed, so earthly pleasures fade away when Jesus is revealed. So I can turn that verse back around and check it. If I've got a longing that is not satisfied, it's possible that Jesus hasn't been revealed in my heart yet. Creatures, no more divide my choice. I bid them all depart. His name, his love, his gracious voice have fixed my roving heart. Folks, I want to tell you, there's going to be people come and say, over here is where it is. They were doing it in Jesus' time. Here's where it is. It's over here. No, it's over there. I tell you what, you get this, a salvation that will satisfy you, and you say, I wasn't looking. I'm satisfied. Creatures, no more divide my choice. Folks, I tell you what, we better get there. Amen. One thing is, eternity's coming, and I believe the devil knows it. He is doing an onslaught today to move you somewhere. He doesn't care where. He doesn't care if it's fanaticism. He doesn't care if it's compromise. He only wants to get you to where you are not satisfied. That you're longing for something. Give me something. And I want to tell you, just like that one yesterday where when the unclean spirit is going out of a man, that spirit is going around searching. I need to come into something. And I want to tell you, there are religious spirits that would be happy to circle back around. I got saved from sinful things, and I have no desire to go back into sin. He knows that. So he will come back to replace it with something that looks real close to a duplicate of what I got saved and brought me so much happiness. Be careful. There's another verse. I'll follow all the way. I'll never, never stray. This world no more can win my love. I've left it all behind. More lasting joys to find. My treasures all are stored above. That verse says, when we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. When I look not at the advertisements that come to me that says you can get 30% signing up with this one, I let it go because I'm looking at a spiritual retirement that is guaranteed to me if I walk with the Lord. There are many people today that are dissatisfied with what the Lord has to offer them. They're looking. What will bring me contentment? The world starts drawing and they respond. This looks like it'll do it. Looks like it's doing it to so many other people out in the world. But Jesus had something to say to Peter, and he says it to each of us. What is that to thee? follow thou me. You get to a place where you're satisfied. Not with my experience that I don't want to move closer to the Lord, but that I have done today all that the Lord asked me. And I ask him also, if you'd like to, tomorrow, show me another something about myself, reveal it to me, and I'll make those adjustments. It'll bring satisfaction. Does the song, when we hear it, "Closer, My Child, to Me," does it bring a response that brings contentment? Yes. What was that verse that says, when he says, "Seek my face," my response was, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." That's just what comes quickly. I don't say, "Well, yeah, but I was fixing to pursue this other thing and see what it would bring me." No, your face is what I'm going to be seeking. I want to close with one more. Because I tell you what, I mentioned it the other evening, but this song right here was not one of my favorites. Seemed like you just had to hang on to get through it because it was, I don't know, probably because I wasn't living there. Number 300. It says in the first verse, he's gotten there now. So he says that first, "I'm dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams, where the air is pure ethereal, laden with the breath of flowers. They're blooming by the fountain, neath the amaranthine bowers." Well, that sounds pretty good. That's now. And now he goes back to tell us what it used to be. "I can see far down the mountain, where I wandered weary years, seeking contentment, sometimes in spiritual things and sometimes in what the world had to offer. Where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments." Have you had them? Yes. "Lord, I'm going to draw closer to you. It's Christmas time and New Year's is coming, and that's when you do resolutions that, Lord, I'm going to draw closer to you this year. I'm going to read and I'm going to pray more and I'm going to do these things that I know will cause it to happen." Broken vows and disappointments, thickly sprinkled all the way. But the Spirit led unerring, if we will let him, this is our testimony, the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. That third verse, "I am drinking at the fountain, where I ever would abide. I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied." Folks, sometimes as the world pulls, we think, well, I need to name the things out. Okay, if you quit doing this, if you quit doing this and quit doing this, and you know what? You'll still be lost. Unless you get this love for God. And those things that I give up are a result of the love that I have for God. This one says, "I've tasted life's pure river. My soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay." Why? Because the preacher got up and told me I can't do it? No. Because I've got a love for Christ now. I am satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. For I have found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. Folks, this will take us all the way to the last breath. And what I desire so much to be able to say to the Lord when I'm fixing to draw it, I'll be able to say it. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I want to tell you, chasing after the things that the world has to offer will never get us there. There will be something else invented next week. They're working on them. Folks, I want to tell you, there is contentment in the Lord. And I am so thankful that the Lord came along to me one day, said, "Dan, you don't have to keep chasing it. Lord, I'm going to get closer to you, and I've got these things about me that I think are spiritual. We need to go to him and say, 'Search me, O Lord. Know my heart.' Because I tell you what, I'll not have spiritual contentment as I do the examining and say I'm okay. Because I could end up in the lukewarm position and meet God and thought that was hot." I desire your prayers.